make me more like you. Wash me through, create me a clean heart, so that I may worship you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We give God all the praise, honor, and glory. Hallelujah. I can remember when I asked Christ in my life as my personal Savior, recognizing all that He had done for me, that He died on the cross, took all that beating and abuse for me, and He rose from the dead that I would have eternal life. That was the first time in my life that the greatest change took place in my life when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And all through life, there's a process of change in a lot of different areas of our life, but that is the main change that happened in my life. That is a significant life change from death to life when you become a born-again believer. The great change that happened in my life 38 years ago. And I can't thank Him enough. It humbles me. I cry sometimes thinking about what He went through that I would be saved. My God, hallelujah. I could talk about that all evening. But I thank and praise God that tonight I'm not the presenter. Minister Wanda Brown is the presenter. And this is week 4 of her broadcast every Sunday evening for the last 4 weeks. She has ministered from her book, A Special Gift, Her Inspirational Journey to Healing. Everybody at some point in their walk with God needs healing. There's no hurt like church hurt. And I just don't believe that you can go through your Christian life without encountering church hurt one time or 5 or 10 times, because you trust and you love, and you trust less and you still love, and you trust less than that and you still love. And when you don't have any trust, you still have to love. And so you don't really hurt unless you really love. So praise God. We're going to talk tonight about metamorphosis. My presenter, Minister Wanda Brown, is an expert on this, and she has been anointed by the Holy Ghost to talk to us tonight about that process of change. I want to thank all of you that are listening. You're tuned in to Gatekeepers Ministry International Radio Broadcast. We're at www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry, where all of the radio broadcasts are on demand for the last 2 years. You could just pick 1, 2, 5, or 10 and be ministered to by all of them. There are anointed topics, anointed presenters, anointed guest ministers, pastors, prophets, apostles, evangelists, teachers, ministers, deacons, all that have given their lives to Christ, and God has gifted them to minister to you on this radio broadcast. So we thank you for joining us. We thank you for being led by the Holy Spirit from different nations to join us. We bless God for you tonight, those in other countries, from around the world, globally, that God, the Holy Spirit, has drawn you to participate in this broadcast. So let's pray right now. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you and praise you for blessing us, saving us, ministering to us. We thank you for looking upon us with your grace and your mercy. God, that you would move by your Spirit, Lord God, upon this broadcast tonight, that you would anoint Wanda Brown like never before, that she would bring out this topic as only she can get it from the Holy Spirit. thank you, Lord, for blessing me to have her on this broadcast again tonight. We ask, God, that you would cover the first and second heavens in the blood of your Son, Jesus. We ask, for holy angels to line the airways and the frequencies, to beat back the forces of darkness on our behalf, to remove every hindrance, Lord God, that would come against this broadcast tonight in the name of Jesus. We ask, God, that you would bless it. Bless it as you have blessed all the other ones, Lord. Bless the listeners. Bless my presenter, my guest tonight. We ask, God, that you would move in her life, that you would bless her and keep her, that your holy angels would be encamped around her, that you would pour out your spirit upon her right now, that you would use her for your honor and for your glory, that you would give her wisdom in every decision that she has to make, traveling mercies throughout her life, divine protection wherever she is. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So like tonight, I share with you our topic is metamorphosis. You can get your notepads and take notes. And I'm sure that there'll be something that Minister Wanda is going to say tonight that would pertain to you. And later on in the broadcast, I'll open the lines for anyone that would like to share something, have a prayer request, or would just like to tell her what a great job she's doing at ministering on this radio broadcast. So, Minister Wanda, we bless God for you tonight. We thank you for joining us, and it's all yours, young lady. God bless you.
Thank you, Evangelist Linda, for the opportunity to give God all the glory and honor and praise on your broadcast. You're a mighty woman of God, and I thank God for how he's using you. And as God ministered to me about the topic, the subject came up, metamorphosis. And, of course, the first thing I thought about is the change with the butterfly. But that's not exactly how God led me today. So I'm going to start sharing what he has given to me. I'm believing that lives are going to be changed. Chains are going to be broken. Lives are going to be restored. Healing is coming forth in the mighty name of Jesus. So around 1999, I had recently gotten out of the hospital, and I attended a revival that was a packed house. The revival was in my hometown where I was born and raised, but it was not where I was living. And after the preacher, who was from Texas, called me to the front of the church, and he began turning me around and practically sharing my story, which I had not shared. And as he turned me around, he said, "You've been raped over and over again, abused over and over again." And then he stopped and he said, "But God," and began turning me counterclockwise and said, "God is going to take your experiences and use them for his glory." I really wasn't paying attention. At this time of my life, I was severely depressed, isolated, and had no self-esteem. I was saved. I didn't love myself, nor did I believe that God loved me. But I knew that I was grateful for God going to the cross and dying for my sins, even before I had the full revelation of what he had done for me and for you and what he was going to do in my life. I have a cousin that's very dear to me, and she used to tell me, "This is not about you." But when you've been abused and have suffered trauma, one can tend to believe that they are the problem and that there is no solution. But I'm here to tell you today, you are not the problem abuse is not your fault, and there is a solution. His name is Jesus Christ. The song that was played in the beginning of this program, Change Me, is often on repeat in my car, on my job, over and over again, because it is my desire that God will continue to change me. The word says, I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's found in Philippians 1:6. I am not where I want to be, but I thank God that I'm not where I used to be. I still have very little confidence in myself, but I am confident in the God that I serve, that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. And that scripture is at Ephesians 3:20-21. As I mentioned in a previous broadcast, I lost my daddy at a very tender age of 11. Because of falsehoods, I believe that God must not have loved me, because people said God needed an angel. I couldn't fathom why God needed an angel more than he would think that I needed my daddy. Well, here's the truth of that situation. First of all, God does not take men and make them an angel. He puts angels in men, period. But for a lack of knowledge, the people will perish. What I didn't know is that the most formative years of a child's life are from birth to age 11. And what I learned through that is that God loved me so much that he allowed my dad to remain here during the most crucial ages of my life that I needed him the most. Otherwise, one of the ACE statistics, a high school dropout, strung out on drugs and alcohol, diseased and or dead. But just like the butterflies go through the cycles of life, it wasn't until a later stage of my life that I learned about myself and so much more about the God I serve. His love for me and you is undying. He won't allow any devil to pluck us out of his hands. And he has a purpose and a plan for our lives. The question is, are you willing to live out that purpose? Do you desire to change, or do you think that you are fine just the way that you are? Change and healing are processes. I state this in the book. Change is a law of nature. When seasons change, the animals hibernate. Some go south, and even we as people change. We change our clothes to suit the weather. When change happens, nothing remains the same. And if you change, everything around you forcibly changes. People may drop out of your life because they really didn't belong there to begin with. when you begin to put your focus on Jesus and yourself, you can learn so much about each other. If things don't line up with the Word of God, I move from it without hesitancy. And some people don't like that. But I've learned that God's will and His ways are what is best for me. I miss the mark many times, but those are the things that I can repent about and work on changing. After all, that is what repenting is all about. Recognizing that I've done something unpleasing to my Father, repent and ask for forgiveness and recognize what I have to work on. I nor you are responsible for others' behaviors, choices, or decisions, and we cannot change them. The only person we can change with God's help is ourselves. Jeremiah 13:23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard its spots? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to do evil. You see, through one man, Adam, sin entered this world. Through his disobedience, we inherited sin. When we get saved, our flesh doesn't get saved. Our soul does. So it's a daily process to deny our flesh to be more like Jesus every day. The question was raised, can the Ethiopian change his skin? The answer, I believe, is no, and neither can we. So what do we do with all the racism in this world? Because we are the color that we are. And please allow me to add that the level of pigmentation does not determine a person's worth. Nor does the amount of money in the bank, nor do titles and degrees, but rather the condition of your heart and soul. So what do we do about racism? Are we to accept it? No, but we can't change others. We can only change ourselves with the help of God. Be better today than you were yesterday. Cup of love, compassion, and empathy every day. And allow God to change you and allow Him to change others. Let us remember, this is not about flesh and blood. It's about principalities in wicked places. Let us examine ourselves. Read the Word of God and meditate on it daily. Get to know the loving Father that you serve. Worshiping God is not just about lifting our hands and praising Him. Romans 12:1-2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Please allow me to share what I learned in counseling. The gut, our heart, is connected to our mind. People would say to me when I'd meet people to use my gut, and that my gut would tell me if they're quote-unquote good people or not. And I would think to myself, what do they mean? Now don't laugh. But you see, I had been abused, and my gut was cluttered with trauma. My emotions were null and void for a very long time. Previously, someone could hit me and I could not feel the pain or respond. The doctors often remarked of my high tolerance of pain. That is not always a good thing. But if you too deal with this, this is a great reason to go through the 5 steps of healing, which is acknowledge what has happened to you, feel it to heal it, accept it, forgive it, and worship God through the experience. These steps can help heal your gut, your heart. And as Maya Angelou says, when you know better, you do better. I am so glad that God winks at our ignorance, aren't you? But once we learn, we are accountable. I love the scripture, 2 Corinthians 3:18. It states, but we all with unveiled faces are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. But here's the question. Is your face veiled or unveiled? How does one's face become unveiled? My answer is get real with yourself and God. By the way, He already knows you inside and out. If you have a spirit of anger, take it to Jesus. If you have a heart of unforgiveness, take it to Jesus. If you have a problem with lying, confess it to Jesus. If you have a spirit of promiscuity, confess it to Jesus. He's available to you to help you change. I know because He is changing me. I made a decision to get real with Jesus. And the more real I became with Him, the more real He became to me. And as soon as I thought that one area was cleaned up, He showed me another area that needed to be worked on. I've always loved the song, I'm looking at the man in the mirror, and I'm asking Him to change my ways. Now, I'm living that song. I'm nowhere near perfect, but I am working on me and my relationship with Jesus Christ. And He loves me, and He loves you too. In Ezekiel 36:26, God says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, give you a heart of flesh. I had no idea how hardened my heart really was until God began to open it. At times, it felt like a tire rod was being used to pry my heart open each time I decided to try to love. It hurt so badly to have it open, so bad that I never want it to be shut again. I'd rather dismiss people from my life that have ill intentions than to ever sweep the dust under a rug and store that pain inside of my life, my heart. The dust that gets stored leads to a volcanic eruption. And when the person explodes, they're the bad person. And realistically, they have become a hardened heart person with a lot of anger. I've always admired people tell it like it is and get it off their chest and move on. But when you're abused, you learn to be quiet, often losing your voice, at times living in guilt and shame and in isolation with unmanageable pain. But doing the inner work can move you through the stages to becoming a beautiful butterfly, a person, a beautiful person with wings. You'll feel like you're flying as God takes you places that you've never been before. He will start blowing your mind over and over again, and you'll recognize it. The doors God will open are amazing. But until you heal, you probably can't go there or even recognize them with a stony heart and truly enjoy it. Regardless as to whether you were abused or not, we all have issues. Many of them stem from our childhood, who were abused instead of loved. We believed all the negativity spoken in our lives, and our brains learned how to cope. But we don't have to just cope. We can learn new skills. One thing that I've learned to do is to speak God's word over my life. For the Bible says, let every man be a liar and God's word be truth. That they may be justified in the saying, and mightest overcome them. That's powerful. So since God's word says that I am wonderfully and fearfully made, that is what I am. Whether I feel like it or not is not the issue. God's word says that I am the head and not the tail. Whether I feel like it is not the issue. His word says that I am more than a conqueror. Even when I feel like I am not a conqueror, I am still more than a conqueror. His word says, I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed when I come and when I go. Since his word says it, then I'm blessed. No matter what attack Satan brings, I can speak God's word over my life, because God's word does not return void. His word accomplishes what it was sent out to do. His word cuts to the marrow and the bone and will show even the intentions of our heart. A huge change is getting into God's word on a daily basis and establishing a relationship with Him. Now I'd like to move into the area of church hurt. So let's go to church. There are so many of us who have been hurt by church. Do you think that church is a building, or are we the church? The reality is that we are supposed to be the church. After all, we're the salt of the earth. The building is a hospital where sick people attend to get their weekly dosage of medicine. So the reality is, as people, we are going to hurt each other. Let me say this too. Our intentions may not be to hurt anyone. But if you're among the living, we are all going to hurt someone in our lives. Our perceptions, our patterns are different. We could offend someone and not even be aware of it. But the part that gets to me about church hurt is when we blame God and we stop honoring and worshiping Him. God's not the one that hurt us. One guy recently said to me, it's not Christianity. Oh, Christianity is a very good thing. He said, it's those church folks. But here is the reality. He is one of those church folks too. We all are human, and we're all going to make mistakes. But God does not change or fail us. He is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. Now, this that I'm saying does not exclude the fact that in the churches you will find wolves in sheep's clothing. The Bible tells us specifically to be aware. But for those of us who are really seeking out God, the same God that is changing me can change anyone else too, if our hearts are open and willing. He will change any of us. So the question becomes, are we making excuses to remain angry and unforgiving? Is it a coping device that was learned as children that needs to go in the name of Jesus? Anger is a very strong emotion. And as I stated in a previous broadcast, it's okay to get angry, but allowing it to control us is not okay. So while you're carrying that weight of bitterness and strife, your offender may have repented and moved on to freedom. Anger does not keep us safe. It is an emotion that keeps us attached to a person. It's something that I had to learn. Anger is a connecting emotion. And not only it is so strong that it can turn on you, and that is what psychologists call depression. As we talked about letting go of negative emotions and the importance of doing such, it frees up your soul to prosper. And as your soul prospers, everything else begins to prosper. So I have a question. How is your flow? I like 3 John 2. It says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." Ecclesiastes talks about a time for everything. But let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heaven." So here's my question for you. Is this your season of change? The Bible tells us to let us lay down every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. Run with patience the race that is set before us. Examine what is trapping you from moving forward and make an effort to change those behaviors. With God on your team, you absolutely win. No matter what it looks like or feels like, ending of the story is that you win. You see, my cousin was right. It's true. It's not even about us. We all have a story, but all the glory belongs to God and God alone. I have a love of the Beatitudes. I did a broadcast on them, and I found it very interesting that it says you're blessed, and then the on the other side of that, it didn't sound like that's something that would create a blessing. But one of my favorite Beatitudes is, "Blessed is the pure in heart, for they shall see God." I don't believe that we have to wait until we get to heaven to see God. I believe that when your heart is pure, you can clearly see the hand of God all over your life. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19 says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." That's a promise, that he's making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. It's a promise to each of us. But here's the question. Do you receive that promise? Do you desire to change with your hand in the hand of a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore? He is the only one who does not change. He said everything that he had made was good. Do you believe him? I didn't always believe him. Because the fact of the matter is, he caused your and my existence to be. He made us. I didn't always believe that there was anything good about me or in me, but today I realize that that was the lie of the enemy to keep my voice on lockdown, my head towards the ground, and in isolation. But this day, I will raise my voice wherever I go and tell about the goodness of my Father, who promised to be a mother and a father to the motherless and fatherless, came that we might have abundant life. Today, although my life still isn't exactly easy, nor is it perfect, I have abundant life. I choose to believe God's word rather than those of the enemy. I now believe that people are on assignment, and those assignments are either of God or Satan, one or the other. And when Satan rears his ugly head, I know what side of the fence that I am on and to who I belong. And if people's walk aren't lining up with their talk, I walk. And I go to my Father and I pray for them. There is a reason that God reminds us to pray for our enemies. The word tells us, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. The word also tells us that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Before I begin to close, I'd like to share a testimony with you. A person called me and asked me to pick up his child from school, his daughter. She attended the same school as my son, so it was really no problem. I had no idea that ill intent was meant to occur. I went out that evening to my car, and I had a flat tire. So instead of saying, I can't do that, I called my daughter, and I solicited her help in picking that child up. My daughter agreed. No problem. Well, the day that I was supposed to pick this child up, it snowed and the schools were closed. I learned later that there was a CYS order against the person who had asked me to pick his daughter up. I could have been associated with a potential situation of kidnap and had ignorantly involved my daughter as well. God really does take care of his own. If you don't know this Jesus that I'm talking about, I invite you to form a relationship with him today. Focus on yourself and Jesus and allow others to be who they are. But that does not mean you have to remain in anyone's company who you're uncomfortable being around. That's not something that you really want to fake it until you make it about. And once we set boundaries, things change. And I shared previously, when I first began setting boundaries, it was very difficult for me. I actually felt like I was being mean, but I didn't realize that setting boundaries is really a beautiful thing. At the end of the day, if I listen to God and I do what is acceptable and right in His eyes, it really is a good day. And before I continue, let me just pause and say thank you all so very much for being a part of this broadcast and the others. And I pray that something that I've said will move you to desire change in your life with God's help. For God and God alone can and will do the impossible. If you're wondering how to check the areas of your life that you need to change, let's look at Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 23. And it reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Be your own fruit inspector and allow God to help you change. And remember Malachi 3:6, for I, the Lord, change." And I'd like to share one more scripture with you. And that is Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." God not only has your back, my back, He is our back. Change and healing are available to all. But to God be the glory, honor, and praise for the things that He has done, is doing, and is going to do. I pray that you'll receive the words God has given to me to share with you and decide what it is you need changed in your life. And with God's help, change is possible.
Praise God. Change is always possible. And there's something you said that I wanted to elaborate on. You said something about when someone offends you, the offender can repent and move on. And for some reason, because this has happened to me on a repeated basis by people, that I know that I know that I know that their offense was intentional.
Mm-hmm.
And more than one time, for some reason, I have felt that it takes more for them to just repent and move on. Unless they absolutely have no conscience. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, unless they absolutely have no conscience,
mm-hmm,
and no thought of how the Holy Spirit deals in relationships, that's the only way I would think that they would be able to repent and move on. Because that might be easy for them to do with one offense, but
mm-hmm,
repeated offenses to one individual takes more than just repent and move on, don't you think?
Okay. I'm so glad you asked that question, because repent means to ask for forgiveness, right, and
mm-hmm,
turn around,
mm-hmm,
right? It means to change your behavior. And if someone is repeating the behavior over and over and over again, have they truly repented?
I wouldn't think so.
I wouldn't either.
Mm-hmm.
But let God be the judge. And also, you bring up a really good point. You know, there is a such thing as being turned over to a reprobate mind,
mm-hmm,
where you don't have a conscience and you continue to say you repented and you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again and not caring who you hurt, who you offend. That's a whole different ball game. And as we had
mm-hmm
talked in a previous broadcast, there are there who are narcissists, sociopaths, predators, and narcissists in particular don't believe that they are doing anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be aware that there are people out there, and that when that continues to happen, like, that's when you have to change.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people have to be moved out of your life. For
mm-hmm
one, when God exposes people, this is what I've learned. Every time God exposed someone in my life, it meant I was going someplace that they could not go.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say exposed, I don't mean they did one silly thing and made a boo-boo. I'm talking about a person that repeated behavior, was causing distress in my life over and over again. The door had to be shut.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a change, whether we recognize it or not. That's an absolute change. And all
it's
change
also
does
unfruitful
not feel good.
Behavior. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's
some
unfruitful behavior.
What
is
unfruitful?
It's also unfruitful behavior for the offender.
For the offender?
Yeah, the offender,
absolutely,
the person that's offending people,
absolutely,
it's not fruitful, you know.
Absolutely.
So the Bible says you'll
know
them by their fruit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes that's why a lot of people don't want to make changes, because change can be it can feel like a very painful process, but it's an absolute necessary process, because there are some people in our lives who really don't belong in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they're harming you over and over and over again. God didn't call us to be like doormats and let people run over us. And that's a misconception
mm-hmm
of the church. And a lot of these issues, like, I really didn't want to go there, but a lot of these issues aren't even talked about in the church. On one interview I did, this lady said, I think in the church they just shove things under the dust under the rug and just say, you got to forgive. And they don't want any counsel about it. They just say, you got to
mm-hmm
forgive.
Yeah, and no
and
accountability.
Yes, Yes, and as Christians, we do have a responsibility to forgive. That is amen, amen, amen. But forgiveness does not mean that you have to keep company with that person. And that may sound cold, but that is amen, amen, amen.
Yeah. I mean, even when I wasn't saved, I didn't deal with people that were like that. And I sometimes I think back over my life and I don't even remember that kind of repeated behavior going on in my life from anyone. That was something that I learned that could happen in a church from the least person that you expected it, you know. And it's not even that you're in their circle. It could be a church leader that that repeatedly might not even be the same offense, but it just it takes darts at you, you know, for whatever reason. And and you don't understand why, you know, because of just not having done anything worthy of it, or that and even if you did, you know, that person is supposed to forgive as well, you know. And I don't see a lot of forgiveness taking place by leadership, because I've seen pastors that get in the pulpit and slap you in the face back. That's their opportunity where they can get you back, you know, without you saying anything, because that's their safety place in the pulpit. And they can throw it out at you, but they can't take it if, you know, I've been avoided by a lot of church leaders, because I feel as though they've said something at me from the pulpit that that deserves privacy in your office somewhere, and then when I've tried to get that privacy, I couldn't get it, which tells me that the pulpit is being abused, and. And then if you're my pastor that God has assigned over me, why aren't you leaving it open for me to address this like a mature adult? Like, I'm not no kid to just sit there and beat up on, because you have a safe place, which is the pulpit. And so I believe that Jesus Christ allowed confrontation. I believe that he didn't run from confrontation. He confronted the Pharisees and the church leaders all the time. And because he was that kind of man, that kind of God, when you walk in love, you can easily address things in love. The Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love. So, but that's how you mend things, and that's how relationships are built. But when people really don't care about relationships, they'll treat you any old kind of way. You know, so Jesus died on the cross so that we could have the right relationship through him, that I'm conscious all the time that it's him that died for you and him that died for me, and it's his will that that there's unity in the body, and that that I'm not to be a dartboard, and I'm certainly not to be the one throwing any darts. But I have felt over the years, many years, that I was just a dartboard for many that have not become or the man or the woman of God that I thought they were because of a title and position. And until they handle the situations that they open the door to, I don't think it's a matter of repenting and moving on, because God wants matters settled according to his word.
Okay, so when I said earlier, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead.
When I said earlier, a person can earnestly repent and move forward, I wasn't saying it excuses anyone's behavior. I just want to make that clear. And I also want to interject here and say that you're a very, I admire the way that you communicate. You could possibly intimidate a lot of people. You have a lot of power, and people in high places, so-called high places, that are throwing darts can't man up or woman enough to talk to you face to face. But I want to share this with you. I was in a service, and this guy was a bishop, and this other bishop said, you know, you don't want a bishop beating, because the higher your level is, the more chastising, I guess, is what he's saying. But the Bible says that many are going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I cast out demons in your name? Didn't I do this, Lord? Didn't I do that? And the Lord's going to depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I know you not. So the reality is that that person that's doing whatever they're doing is not really our concern. Our feelings may be hurt. Our whatever may be hurt, but God has the final say. God really does have the final say. And everybody that's in a pulpit is not a preacher. Everybody that's in a pulpit is not called to preach. And I've seen some of the most horrific things happen even over the pulpit. People talking about each other over the pulpit, but won't, like you said, won't go face to face or behind doors and say what needs to be said so that a resolution can come. And I cannot imagine that God is happy or pleased with any of that. And that is not what I mean by repenting. I mean somebody godly sorry going down on their knees and even going to that person saying, hey, like, I'm sorry, I recognize what I did, and I need to change that. And they can be more free if we hold on to that resentment.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, because now we're in the mode of being unforgiveness. But people that are using the pulpits for their glory and their ring match to get their fight settled, I don't believe that God is pleased with that at all.
No.
And I don't know if some of those people even recognize that they need to change, because there are predators in the pulpit.
Yeah, well, I know that once that kind of stuff had started happening to me, I learned that it's common in some pulpits, and that to me personally defies the holy place, the place of God, that God has privileged a preacher to stand and minister only the gospel of Christ. In ministering other than that, you're in your flesh, and God gets no glory out of that.
Amen.
So, you know, I didn't think you meant otherwise. I just wanted to say what was on my heart about it.
Oh, I'm glad you did.
And
because
I just wanted to say that.
May have misunderstood, you know, I wanted to make sure I was clear on that point, because repent means, like, to be godly sorry and turn away from that sin. It doesn't mean, like, oh, God, forgive me, and I'm just moving on. That's sounds like no conscience to me.
Yeah.
I'm
and
glad you brought that point up.
I have observed that people can move on like you don't exist. And the Lord has showed me that is not how his word tells people to settle matters. And I'm not talking about people in the pews. I'm talking about people in leadership. And just like you said, they're going to say, I did this in your name, I did that in your name. And he will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them say, well, how can you say you never knew me?
Mm-hmm.
When they actually believe
they
was
believe.
Okay to say and do things to his children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think, you know, I think about married couples and how, you know, if the wife's offended, she could share it with the husband and how he can minister to her and the other way around. Well, I don't have a husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I share my heart with my friends that
mm-hmm.
can be objective but can also minister to me from the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I don't understand why I've been a target to many leaders when I've never demonstrated anything but the love of God. But that, and I just feel that God, and you know, God shows me in dreams some things, and I wonder, and I don't wonder, but I shared with a prophet a dream I had, and he said the reason why God still shows you that person is because it matters to him what's going on.
Mm.
And it has not been resolved in his eyes.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So, you know, and so, you know, we all heal at a different pace. We
mm-hmm.
some hurt deeper than others on
mm-hmm.
situations. And there's so much going on in the world today that is a hurting, just a hurting,
mm-hmm.
hurting thing that the devil, just like this shooting in Florida, it's that just really hurt me
mm-hmm.
to see those kids' life just
mm-hmm.
shut down and to know that the agency of the FBI did not do their job and 17 people lost their lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sad how you can sit somewhere in the church in your big office, in the world in your big company in your big office, and receive these big paychecks, and you're just as apathetic as the devil.
Mm. Mm.
But if it was your kid in your family,
say
you'd be right on it.
Say it again.
But it wasn't, and they could have prevented.
Mm-hmm.
They could have prevented it. Some of these church leaders could have prevented some things, but they want to be
mm-hmm.
favored by the other church leader.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I want God's favor. I don't want to put my hands to do
Amen.
Nothing that God wouldn't put his hands to do.
Amen.
And I'm serious, and that's why I'm not a coward, that I don't have no problem confronting people. Because
Amen.
I want the matter settled. I want to know why you did to me what you did. Maybe I did something to you that you need to tell me I did because I'm not seeing it or God's not showing it to me. And if you can throw darts or offend or hurt somebody that's sitting back praying for you, supportive of you, then there's definitely something wrong with you.
Amen. You,
you know,
got it.
And stop
Amen.
Trying to make people think that there's something wrong with me because
Amen.
I don't retaliate like you do. So it's, you know, for some people like me, it's been a long haul with the offense ministry because there's a lot of church leaders out here that have no problem with offending you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier said than done to repent and move on because I know that is not God's way. You don't repent and move on and increase.
Mm-mm.
You might increase by getting some increase, some man-made way, but God doesn't place his favor and approval on that kind of stuff.
That's the truth.
If he'll go after one sheep that has strayed and leave the 99,
mm-hmm.
and you set your heart on throwing darts at an individual that is trying to make it, that's trying to move forward in God, that's trying to love and that's trying to be fruitful, that's trying to progress and succeed in the things of God, and that's always my focus. And you become the distraction because you won't stop throwing darts my way. And I believe that you have become a pawn in the devil's hand.
Okay.
So, you know, this is, you know, I've always stood up for the underdog.
Mm-hmm.
Because after I preached one time about Vashti and Esther, I researched that Vashti, honey, and she came from a king's house. Her father was a king. That's how come she knew she didn't have to flaunt herself in front of no drunken men. See, people, I've heard two other people preach publicly on that level.
Mm.
Where God knew that Vashti was not going to do what her husband told her to do, not because she wanted to disobey him, but she knew what protocol was, and she came from royalty. He didn't just make her royalty. When he got her, she was already from a royalty.
Okay.
You know, she was already from a line, and she knew how to carry herself and present herself. She knew how to get a king. And out of a drunken stupor, she had enough pride and dignity about herself not to do it. You know, but everybody, especially this male ego, wants to turn everything around and say about disobedience and blah, 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 blah. No, God knew that the woman was not going to reduce herself to the level mm-hmm. that she was asked to do it. And even the scriptures say that King Xerxes felt bad about it.
Mm.
He later felt bad about what he asked her to do, because he was provoked to do it. So I can find some underdogs in the Bible and research them and find out why God did what he did concerning them. But I really do, I'm blessed. I'm always blessed when it talks about the butterfly and just, you know, the butterfly has a special place in my heart, mainly because when I traveled around the country soul winning, I was one of the older people that was winning souls, and a lot of the team members were very young because they were part of the Bible Institute of the church that did the soul winning, and it was kind of tough, and I was driving the van, and everybody was asleep. And I had the air condition on, but I had the window, like, cracked less than an inch. And a butterfly flew in that window and landed on my thigh. And it wasn't, it was a zebra design of a butterfly.
Mm.
And that zebra design is says a lot to me because of a movie I saw about a zebra that the horses didn't want the zebra to fit in, thought that the zebra was less, but they were in a Kentucky Derby and the zebra won the race.
Mm.
And they did everything the animals talked in this Disney movie. But this butterfly flew in that little teeny crack in my window and landed on my thigh. And I woke up my team leader that was sitting next to me in the passenger seat, and I said, look, I said, pick this up. But when it wasn't living for some reason the Lord had it land there. I had just been through a battle with a team leader on that trip, and the Lord was saying to me through that, you won, Linda, because you did not treat her like she treated you. And I felt that I felt that the Lord ordered that butterfly to come right through that little teeny part of that window that was open and land on right above my knee where I was driving. And I had my team leader pick it up and put it right on top of the where you would normally put your cigarettes, because nobody smoked, but because that area was real clean. And he put it there. He says, you want me to take some pictures of it? I said, yeah. And I told him what that meant to me, and I just cried. It's something how God can take something like that. You know, and I'm doing 70 miles an hour down the highway. So it wasn't like I was doing 20 or I had stopped at a light. It was a rural area going through farmland, and I think I was doing 70 or 75 miles down the highway. And I always like fresh air, and God told that butterfly to come in through that little opening in that window and land on my, and leg represents strength. So I knew that the Lord,
My spiritual mother took me to a butterfly house, and I learned the process of the butterfly, but I learned that once the butterfly becomes a butterfly, the normal time that it lives is only 2 weeks. So it's really a miracle when we see a butterfly. It's really, really a miracle. But back to what you were talking about, as I mentioned in the talk, I was saying either people are on assignment from Satan or assignment from God. And when I figure out which one they're on, I decide I'm staying in my lane, and they're going in their lane. And I want to share this with you. Someone said to me, and I'm saying it to you, that Satan will only fight you not to where you are, but to where you're called to. So you should be rejoicing. They can throw their darts. They can do whatever they need to do, but God knows where he's called you to, and he's not done with you yet.
Amen.
And all the shame and whatever else belongs on, wherever it belongs, because they're either on assignment from God or on assignment for Satan. If they're on assignment for Satan, you're going to be the target. The darts are going to come. But you reminded me last week, and I'm reminding you that the weapon might form, but no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Don't let them people tear you down, upset you, worry you. You walk on with the Lord. I admire that you can speak your mind. I admire that so much about you. And you have a boldness about the Lord that is awesome. And some people obviously are intimidated by it. That's not your problem. That ain't your battle. That's the Lord's battle, because he gifted you to be who you are.
Amen. Well, I certainly have enjoyed this conversation. If you're listening to Gatekeepers Ministry International Radio Broadcast and you're listening, streaming in, you can turn the volume off on your computer and dial 929-477-2442 and press 1, and I'll open your mic and you'll be able to speak with Minister Wanda about something that we've been discussing or about her book. And week 4, which is today, the topic is metamorphosis. And I think that's just great. I didn't really know the lifespan of a butterfly, but I knew it was brief once it became a butterfly. And it's something how a lot of people over the years I've heard use, you know, the butterfly from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And it's really something because they're just beautiful, beautiful creatures.
Mm-hmm.
They just are. And I just thank and praise God for that. And I remember, I think it was last Sunday on 60 Minutes or one of those news shows like that, they were in an area where butterflies, millions of them, flocked to a certain part of the year. And it was just gorgeous. I mean, they just covered everything. And so, you know, God has his reasons and his seasons of change, you know.
Amen.
And I have friends that I never want them to change because I love them just the way they are, just the way they treat me.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, and it's nice to be in a circle where you can be exactly who you are.
Who you are, yeah.
And your friends accept you for who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get objective opinions from them,
mm-hmm.
but they can always tell you the truth based on
mm-hmm.
scripture, and it's not a problem, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thank God for who he is.
Amen.
And who he makes us to be. I feel
Amen.
Like if we're going to change, we're going to change for Christ.
Amen.
You know, my
about.
Daughter is married. She's been married over 15 years. And she fasted every day in January. And she was talking to me about her husband and how she realized that there were things that she needed to change in. So when you're in a relationship, a marital relationship, and you recognize that, you know, these people that think they can change these boyfriends, they're just working overtime for nothing on
Go
trying
ahead.
To do that. That is just not scriptural.
That is so true.
And that is not wise. So but when there's a married couple and you love each other and you want your marriage to work, you're more than willing to make some changes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have found that more divorces are with people with money in the church. And the divorce rate in the church has exceeded
mm-hmm.
the statistics in the world,
mm-hmm.
which is a sad, and I'm sure
it
it's an offense to God, but he
mm-hmm.
gets over it quickly. And he hates divorce. So,
mm-hmm.
but it's not an unpardonable sin, so therefore it's easy to do. But I just feel like if I know what my daughter and her husband have been through for more than 15 years married, and I know that some of these church leaders haven't been through that, and I don't
mm-hmm.
understand how they can't stick it out just because they love God. And think that it's so easy to move on. So, you know, it's just something that is happening in the church, and it's needs a lot of prayer. And
Amen.
So, but my prayer is usually focused on people I know, except when I'm praying in the spirit. I never know
mm-hmm.
who I'm praying for. But I just
mm-hmm.
give God praise. I give him all the glory, honor, and praise. I just thank the Lord for who he has made me to be, the woman of God
mm.
that he's called me to be. You know, I don't count anything that I do for him a sacrifice. I just count it that that's what I'm supposed to do. You know, that he has made my life to be what it is, comfortable, and certainly not without battles. But he fights my battles, and he has demonstrated
Amen.
That to me.
Amen.
So I never really thought that as a woman of God I would have some traumatic experiences of the level
mm-hmm.
of warfare that I've had. but it is what it is. And God will get the glory out of my life regardless of what the devil is trying to do.
Amen.
And so he ain't going to change, that's for sure. You know, he's always doing the worst that he could do and wants you to do the worst and be the worst. And I refuse to be the worst. I want to be the best that I can be in the eyes of God, because the Holy Spirit helps us to be that when we humble ourselves before him. So is there anything else you'd like to say? Nobody is pressing one or has a desire to call in and talk tonight.
Okay. I don't have anything else to add nor to subtract. I'm thankful for our conversation. And like I said, you're a powerful woman. So,
well, what's week five's topic?
Week five topic is gifts from the storm.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
And I think that's prophetic, because that's very prophetic. We can recognize and see our gifts from the storm.
Mm-hmm.
In the storm and after the storm, really. That's good.
Now,
that's
a lot
good.
Of times we only see this or feel the storm. We don't recognize often the gifts. And the bigger the tragedy, the bigger the gifts are. But you got to open your eyes spiritually. Yeah.
Well, praise God. We have given God glory tonight. I like that song that we opened with, Change. Who was singing that? Was that?
Tamla Man, Change Man.
Tamla Man. Okay, cool. I like that. So if you don't have anything else to share, I thank you for being on the broadcast, being a part of Gatekeepers Ministry International radio broadcast. I'm looking forward to this October trip. We have about 13, 14 seats left, and I'm believing God to draw in the people to go on the trip with us that he has ordered to be among us and with us every day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and on that tour bus. We could have a lot of fun. And God, I want God to handpick those that will join us, and I just give him all the praise, honor, and glory for that. I'm excited to have another year that I can go and spend 8 to 10 days on God's property. Hallelujah.
Amen. On God's property, on God's property.
yeah, God's property, on God's property. Yeah, I'm excited about that. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time, this opportunity. We thank you, Lord. We ask that you will continue to bless this broadcast. Bless my sister, Minister Brown. Lord, we ask that you would bless us through this night. We thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to penetrate the airwaves with your word. We thank you for the dialogue between us. We ask, God, that you would continue to move on our behalf. Bless us through the night and bless us tomorrow on this holiday. And, Lord, throughout this week, Lord God, order our steps and camp your holy angels around us, Lord. And, Father, let everything we think, say, and do be to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are you working tomorrow?
I am.
Oh, cool.
All right. Yeah.
Okay.
Have a good night.
The school system here is closed, and I am not working. So those of you that are working, you have a blessed day at work. Those of you that aren't, we give God all the glory, honor, and praise for a day off. And I just want to say God bless you. Wherever you're tuning in from, morning, noon, or night, we're up, whatever time zone you're in. I'm grateful. Missionary Evangelist Linda says good night. I love you, and have God dreams. God bless you.
Amen.